One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Rather than searching for elements of their own style within trends, they take the trend as being their new adopted style. Their trend is the style versus there is elements of their style that they can pull from within the trend.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. We're at a summer party tonight and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What is up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. I cannot believe we're at December. I still haven't put up any of my holiday decorations. I'm just not feeling it this year. And there was part of me that's like, should I even put them up? Like, should I just skip out on doing a tree this year and doing the stockings and whatever? And I just feel like I'm going to have to force myself to put them up. I don't know what it is. I feel like fall just started. Ugh, God, it's climate change. I'm going to blame it on that. It's the lack of seasonal changes. The fact that it only just started to get cold in New York in the last like 2 weeks. It's a crime and it's taken away my Christmas spirit. There, I said it. Despite that, I actually did have a great little Thanksgiving with my family. All against all odds, because we were a little unsure how this Thanksgiving was going to go. You know, given the drama and everything that I'm not going to talk about on the podcast, but know that there was drama and know that we did survive it. And it was actually quite a pleasant family Thanksgiving just with my immediate family, my parents, my siblings. It was great. It was awesome. I played a lot of Toontown, played a lot of Mario Party as well, actually. The new Mario Party game actually is really fucking good. It's really fun, particularly the Koopathon element, which is like not even a part of the standard Mario Party. It's like, I don't know, like one of those secondary games like they do have on Mario Kart where they do like the time trials and like the bomb stuff. Anyways, they have games like that in the new Mario Party as well, and I am obsessed with them. I've been doing nothing except for Koopathoning. Okay, I am Koopathoned the fuck up these days. So we played a lot of that and also a lot of Jackbox. So many Jackbox games. A lot of people don't know this, but if you have Amazon Prime, you get all of the Jackbox games for free. It's included with Prime, which is honestly a crime that more people don't know that, because you buy like one Jackbox pack for like $50 on Switch. And I see people playing Jackbox on Switch and I'm like, I know you guys have Amazon Prime, right? And you do not need to be paying $50 per pack for the Jackbox shit. Just like go on Amazon Luna, and if you have Amazon Prime, literally every single, all 10 of the Jackbox party packs are on Amazon Luna for free. So anyways, there's a tip for you. But we played a lot of Jackbox. My favorite Jackbox game, I believe, is on Party Pack 9. And it's called Quick Sort. And it is so fucking fun. It is like trivia and strategy. You have to work together with your teammates to place falling blocks in an order. So like, for example, if the category is 12 Days of Christmas, the blocks are going to come in and be like, drummer's drumming, and you have to in your brain be like, on a scale of 1 to 12, where does drummer's drumming fall? And once you place a block, you can't move it, and you don't know which ones are coming next. So obviously that one is like, there's an established 12, but there are other ones like best picture winners ranked from like earliest to latest, and you don't know which ones are going to come next. You have to sort of strategize where you're putting each of the blocks without knowing what's coming next. Anyways, trivia, strategy, so much fun. I fucking love it. We played the boots off that fucking game. And I'm just feeling so gamey this time of year. Totally different meaning to that word. Gamey. I'm feeling gamey. And then I went home, flew home because I didn't have Mango with me. Mango was here with my friend Jordan. So I flew home since I didn't have her and was reminded of why I am so excited not to have children. Like, I think about my future life just being a hot woman, a hot young woman right now, a hot older woman in a couple decades, just being totally and completely unfucking bothered. It's gonna be fucking awesome, okay? Because there was a baby in front of me. They weren't crying, but they did shit themselves before takeoff, babe, which really I have criticisms for the parent, which listen, I get that a single childless person criticizing parents, nobody ever likes that, but I'm going to offer some right now. If your child shits themselves before the plane has even taken off, okay, people are still boarding the plane. Your child has unfortunately shit themselves. It happens. Okay. We've all been there. We've all shit ourselves before the plane is taken off. Okay. Fair enough to the little guy. However, I don't believe that it is okay to just let your child sit in that shit for the duration of the flight. Like, in my head, it was like, okay, people are still boarding. You have time before it's going to be an issue. Take them to the bathroom now so you can take care of this. That's option one. Or I even would have offered you enough grace for option two, which is that you wait until until we've taken off, and then you take them to the bathroom to clean them up. Granted, it's a short flight, right? Boston to New York. Not that crazy, but it was foul. It was really bad. Multiple kids might have shat for all I know. Like, it was bad. I was covering my nose. And also, I get panicked in situations like that. I don't know what this is about me, because obviously it was the kids. Like, obviously there was babies around us. But there's something about when I smell something foul in public, I get worried that people are going to be like, oh my God, it's that girl over there. Like, think it's me somehow. Or like, I don't know. This is like my anxiety, like my deep, deep anxiety, where I like panic about things like that, where I'm like, do they think it's me? Even though there's like a baby right next to us, I was like, it's for sure the baby. Everyone knows it's the baby. But then there's some part of my brain that's like, what if all these people are on the plane? Like, ugh, it's that girl in the corner. And I'm being like falsely accused of pooping my pants because this baby over here is stinking up the entire back of the plane. Ugh, just foul. So anyways, that's my advice to parents for the week. If your child shits on a plane before it takes off, please take care of that. Because you know what? I don't want to smell shit for the whole plane ride. I don't. You might be cool with that. You might be used to the scent of your child. Maybe it becomes like a, you know, you like the smell of your own BO. So maybe it's sort of like osmosis over to the child as well, since you created it. And you're like cool with the scent of their foul doings. Maybe that's how you feel about your own baby. I'm here to let you know that I do not feel that way about your fucking baby. Change their diaper, please. And don't do it in the seat, because that's crazy. Remember when people were doing that on TikTok? They were like changing their children's diapers just like in the seat on an airplane. That was wild. That's got to be like, normal people don't do that. Normal people for sure don't do that. This was like three influencers that were like, thought they owned the plane. They're in economy wiping their child's ass in the middle seat. Crazy work, you guys. But people have done it. So we've just got to put that out there, that we do want you to wipe your child's ass. However, it is a strong preference that you do it in the lavatory and not just in the seat that other people are going to sit in. That's crazy, because you know that they don't like deep clean the plane in between every single flight. The fact that anybody in their right mind was like, you know where's a good place to wipe my kid's ass? Right here in seat 13B. Like, somebody out there thought that. And that's crazy to me. And these are the things you have to remind yourself of when you go about your everyday life and you come across things that you're like, oh my God, that's crazy. How could anyone think that? People do think that. People do think and act in mysterious ways, and I will never understand them. Lots of people are dumb. Many people are very dumb and very selfish. Always remember this. I've been back on TikTok for a little bit, as we know. Still have my 15-minute timer set on my phone, trying not to be on it. And honestly, successfully. I think my three-year, however long it was, hiatus from TikTok cured me of my desire to be on the app. And now I am able to have a healthy relationship with it. Really, everyone should try this. Hard cutoff deleting of the app for a year or two, and then coming back onto it and seeing that you're actually able to have a better relationship with it was huge for me. Anyways, I'm back on TikTok now, and sometimes I feel like a fucking boomer because I be pressing buttons on that app that I do not realize that I pressed. Why every part of the screen is a button now? Like, I accidentally reposted some video earlier today, and I started getting notifications that, like, people liked the video that you reposted. And then I went to go look. I'm like, what is this? I didn't repost a video. And then I go and I look at it. It's some random video that I don't even fucking agree with. I'm like, fuck, I reposted that? Oh, Jesus Christ. Get this off my page. And like, I feel like my fucking 85-year-old grandmother. How did that get there? No, we can't do this. I can't. No, we have to fight back against it so badly. It actually, like, it sends a shiver up my spine considering, like, envisioning myself becoming, I don't know, technologically a dunce. I was making fun of my parents for that this week because they always complain about my grandmother and how she, like, doesn't know how to log on to a Facebook, and they get so frustrated with her. They're like, what do you mean you don't know? It's so easy. You just type it in. And then meanwhile, I get so mad at them for doing similar shit. Like, they don't know how to set up their Alexa, Alexa by Amazon. They don't know how to set it up. My sister got it for them last year. They don't know how to set it up, so they just fucking haven't. And I'm like, have you heard of Google? And they're like, ugh. Like, they just get so frustrated with it. I'm like, guys, it really, like, it's so simple. You can even go on YouTube and watch someone in video version explain to you how to do it. And then, let's say I convince them to follow the tutorial or to Google to solve their problems. Even if I convince them and bring them to that point, they're going to do it, and they're just going to, like, plug it in, connect it to the app, the special app that you connect it to on your phone to get it up and running. And then they're not going to understand that you have to, like, turn on all the skills on it and, like, connect it to your Spotify, to your Pandora, whatever the fuck else you people use. You have to teach it how to do these things. You're not just going to turn it on and then be like, okay, and now play Yacht Rock Radio, and just think that it's able to do that without having a subscription to all the things you have subscribed to. Oh my God. So that's what I had to explain to them this weekend. My mom's like, why is it not connected to my Sirius XM radio? Because first of all, who the fuck pays for Sirius? My family does. Don't have Spotify, don't have Apple Music, don't have anything that's, like, more helpful in terms of playing the music that you want to listen to. No, instead they have Yacht Rock Radio on Sirius XM, which is crazy to me, but that's a choice that they're making, and I support it, and I just have to try to help make them understand how it all works since they don't know how to fucking Google. So while they're getting mad at their parents for not being able to log into Facebook, I'm being mad at them for not knowing how to Google answers and problem solve. And meanwhile, somebody, my future nephew, is going to make fun of me for accidentally reposting shit that I don't agree with on TikTok because the whole screen is buttons. The whole screen is buttons, dude. And I have long nails. So I just feel like where I'm pressing on the screen or how I'm touching things is sometimes weird. Oh my God. How embarrassing. How fucking truly and deeply embarrassing. I'm also willing to blame this on the fact that hormonally, it's a little crazy over here. Like, I would say I don't know what's going on, but I do know what's going on. I do know what's going on. It's that I took myself off birth control. Everything is connected. Nothing is a coincidence. I took myself off birth control in September because my body is a prison and my body rejects birth control. And I'm so jealous of you bitches. I've said it once and I'll say it again. I do wish to commit homicide on all of you people that tried one form of birth control and your body was like, all right, cool. Yeah. And now we have 4-day periods that are so cool and manageable. And you just were cruising on one form of birth control. I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you. I do. I'm projecting my personal anger onto you. I'm aware and I don't give a shit. Fuck you. Because I have tried every form of fucking birth control. Doesn't matter. My body hates all of them. I exist in a prison and I just wasn't meant. It's not meant to be at this stage of my life. Here's the thing. Here's the conclusion that I came to. I am not having sex right now. I don't really plan to be having sex in this general time of my life. In the state of things in the world, I'm not planning on being intimate with men. All right? Just not really in the cards for me coming up. If I'm going to have sex, it's going to be with a woman. I know this. So reason, I guess, for me to be on birth control if it's not helping my periods, which it wasn't anymore. Because I fucking hate it here. So if I'm not having sex and I don't really plan to have sex, and if I'm going to have sex, it'll be with a woman. Or if I'm going to have sex with a man, he's going to have to court me for like 8 months before I'm willing to fuck him. So I'll have time to, you know, switch up my birth control situation. There's going to be no like whirlwind sexual romances happening for me with men in the year 2025. I know this. So I was like, okay, why the fuck am I on birth control? Because I'm not having sex and it's not helping with my periods anymore and I'm fucking miserable. So let's just go off it for now, okay? Because I was getting my period every other week. I was having 2 to 3 periods a month, okay? Do you know how fucking frustrating it is to bleed for 50 to 70% of your life? I've seen horrors you couldn't imagine, okay? You don't want to know what it's like to exist here. But now that I've been off birth control for a couple months, I'm noticing all of these changes within myself. Number one, I'm experiencing a joy and lust for life that was previously unknown. I'm half kidding and I'm half not. Emotionally, I do feel a difference. And I've been on birth control pretty consistently since I was 18. So it really has been so long, like almost a decade since I have known life not on birth control. So emotionally, I do feel a difference for sure. And there was like a switch that flipped in my head where all of a sudden I was like, and now colors seem brighter to me and everything in the world makes sense and the air feels fresher and I just feel more present. I'm here in a way that I wasn't before. I did notice that. There was a point like that. Now I'm starting to notice all of the horrible period symptoms that I had as a teenager coming back full force. So here's what we have. We have acne. We have back pain. We have cramps that are debilitating to the point where I cannot sit or stand up. I have to lay down. That's happening. I'm bleeding so heavily for 7 to 10 days. And when I say so heavily, I mean, imagine the super ultra brick tampons. Imagine those. And imagine if your body was bleeding so profusely that one of them filled up every 20 minutes. Imagine that. And imagine it for 7 to 10 days. Are you there? Are you picturing it? Good. That's my life. This is where we live. And also breast tenderness. Oh my God, they hurt so bad. I'm in pain constantly. And you know what? It should be no confusion to anybody why I am so uninterested in sex these days. Like what? Duh. Okay, fucking duh. Tell me something else. Like, I am so horny and also don't want to have sex. And that is because it is such a fucking to-do. It is such a task. My body is so delicate and fragile. Listen, I'm a whole lot of fucking woman, or whatever that quote is. She's a whole lot of woman, baby. That, yes. And also, I need to be with someone that is ready to go on this journey with me, because it is a journey. It is a journey, okay? And I'm just never gonna be,
I went on a birth control pill once, and now I have 4-day periods that are like nothing, and I have no period symptoms, and it's all just hee-hee, whatever. I can fuck whenever I want, and I don't have to think about it.
I'm like, I will never be you. I will never be you, and it's just always going to be a huge fucking task for me, and the amount of days during the month where I could just, without a care in the world or without a single thought entering my brain about it, have sex are few and far between. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, okay? Because I think that that's a part of my own identity that I have ignored for much of my life, where it's like, okay, sex is actually difficult. Like, it's hard to have in some bodies. In my body, it is difficult to have, because there are so many days of the month where it is just like my body is terrorizing me, and it is difficult to have sex. So, what now, atheists? Fuck. Anyways, now that I've sufficiently overshared all of my period problems, I feel like we are lubed up for this sleepover, if you will. Hi, how are we doing? how were your Thanksgivings? How were your holidays? How are we doing? How are we feeling? What's up, you guys? Love you so much. So I know that in last week's episode, we promoed the fact that we're doing a little Lover Girls Awards. And I'm here to tell you that the nominations form for the Lover Girls Awards is live. So I've selected the categories. There is a plethora of them. Some are very high level, like we'll be voting for the best picture, the best movie of the year. But there'll also be more specific, hyper specific categories, like best shitty rom-com of the year, best song for Yearning, most valuable Love Island castmate. Like, we've got some crazy ones in there. You guys helped get the inspiration going. You threw me many wonderful category suggestions. I took some, I left others, I compiled a big list of categories, and now it is time to get some nominations going. So there is going to be a Google form in the description of this episode, no matter what platform that you are listening on. In that form, you will see a list of all of the categories I have selected and a little box to nominate your pick for each category. By next week, I am going to go through all of your suggested nominees. I'm going to pool together 4 or 5 of the top submitted answers in each category, and I will then publish a voting form in which we get to vote amongst the top answers that you guys have submitted. So first up is the nominees. You guys are in charge of nominating the people, media, moments of this podcast that you would like to see awarded at the end of the year show. And then once we get the nominations going, we will get to the voting. All right. This is a whole operation, and I'm so excited to be leading it. Truly, I'm quite excited about this. I love data. I love end of year awards. I love giggling and cackling about the things that are important to me. So you know what? This is going to be freaking awesome. So be sure to go in and make your voice heard. Get your nominees in there. This is an award show for the people. The best of end of year show for everyone with taste. And all the lovers and, you know, gooey girls of the world, right? So we have some categories that are very Lover Girl specific, and we have others that are very high level, because as we all know, the lovers of the world really make everything go round, and we do have the best taste palette, and without romanticism, everything would be boring. So we're going to choose the best of, and you know, the hyper specific categories, and we're going to have the best time ever with it. So it's nominee time. get those nominees in. Make your voice heard. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, do not panic, because I have the best site for the most unique, special gifts ever, and that is Uncommon Goods. If you've never heard of Uncommon Goods, they are absolutely the best place to find all of your unique, one-of-a-kind gifts they didn't even know they wanted until it's placed right in front of them, and they're like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever wanted. A couple years ago, I got my grandma a customizable blanket over on Uncommon Goods. It's like a little notepad that you can customize with a note over the top of it. And I was home last week for Thanksgiving, and I'm literally in my grandma's room, and she has the blanket just laid out at the bottom of her bed, and you can see it says, Love Maddie, XOXO. Many of their handmade products are made in small batches, so now is the time to make those last minute purchases while you still can. Holidays quickly approaching, shipping deadlines also quickly approaching. So get in there sooner rather than later to finish up your holiday shopping. But let's say you do miss the shipping deadlines, you can also order them an uncommon experience, if you will. Whether it's a tarot card reading, a cooking class, mixology class, gardening class, there are so many experience type gifts that you can give to the people in your life that don't require any shipping whatsoever. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/emotionallyonline. That's uncommongoods.com/emotionallyonline for 15% off. So don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We are all out of the ordinary. I feel like there's been so much personal style discourse happening all over the internet. Mina Lay did just do a wonderful YouTube video titled, I believe, The Death of Personal Style, which was absolutely fantastic. Definitely go check out her video if you haven't already, because I do feel like her viewpoints on all of this really do mirror and mimic my own perspective on this. And she just kills it in every way, shape, or form. So go check out that video. But this idea of like the death of personal style and how apps like TikTok specifically have had a role in ushering us into a very like personal style-less era is quite interesting to me. And I think in a lot of ways I agree with that take wholeheartedly. And also I think some people take that acknowledgement of the fact that the like current access to trend cycles and how quickly we pass through them, how that is impacting people's relationship to their own personal styles. People take that truth, right? We can acknowledge that as a truth. They take that and they spring it to like levels unknown, and they take it to like, you know, anybody who has any type of eccentric or unique fashion or style choices is wrong, and like minimalism is the only way, or they take it to be like any engagement in trends is bad, when I don't really think that's the case either. One of the quotes that Mina says in her video is like, you can tell someone's screen time by looking at their outfit. And that was one of those things that I was like, that's diabolical. Like, that's a diabolical sentence. And also, I know what you're talking about. And to me, that comes up when you look at like the hyper specific, very quickly passing trends that pretty much exclusively exist on TikTok. And I feel like I recognized this more and more during the 2 years that I wasn't on TikTok, because occasionally somebody would post something on Instagram. It would enter my brain space where like cottagecore or like coastal grandmother, I'd hear like one person say something about that like 5 to 6 months after it was a major thing on TikTok. And I have this sort of like moment where I feel like a fucking boomer, where I'm like, what? Sorry, what are you talking about? What is that? Like, what are you saying? And I think during the years I was off TikTok, I just accepted that that was like a corner of TikTok that I was never going to understand. And one that I was always going to be late on, that I just wasn't a part of. And I honestly don't really give a shit about. Like, I have never understood the, like, when a new core is dropped, there are genuinely people online that just jump to participating in the next core. And I think part of that is probably, like, for the algorithm and for, like, you know, the Google search trends of it all, where people are like, I know that this is trending. People are searching this, making content surrounded around what this ever-changing core is going to be for the month, core of the month, if you will. They know that making content around that is going to push eyes to their page. And to some level, I think it's probably just that. But I think there's also people that are so prone to participating in these fleeting core of the months because they really lack a sense of personal style or direction within themselves. Now, I think it's one thing to see, like, I don't know, a trend pop up and to see your personal style in the trend. Like if Coastal Grandpa, whatever it was, I don't even know what that means. I'm just like saying words. I feel like I'm like, hello, fellow children. I'm like cosplaying into understanding what I'm saying right now. But let's say you saw the Coastal Grandpa trend and you really liked some of the styles of clothing that were trendy within that particular aesthetic. You saw elements of your own style portrayed there. It resonated with you. You made content about it because you did find similarities there within your own style in this emerging trend. I think that's a totally different thing, right? Because that's you seeing yourself within the trend, not you using the trend to see yourself. Does that make sense? Let me say it again slowly. Rather than searching for elements of their own style within trends, they take the trend as being their new adopted style. Their trend is the style versus there is elements of their style that they can pull from within the trend. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. But ultimately, a lot of this, like, core of the month nonsense that is very confusing is rooted in like how to beat the algorithms and how to sell the most product to people. It's rooted in consumerism and like people that perhaps lack perspective, people that don't have a lot to say that come on like short form apps where it doesn't take a lot to make a 15 second video. You don't have to have a lot to say. You don't have to have a lot of skill. You don't have to have a lot to add to anything because you've only got 15 seconds of time in that spotlight. And I think especially with like the growth of apps like TikTok and the like amount of money being pulled in by these apps, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me how platforms like TikTok can become more prone to these like hyper consumerist trends, core of the months that sweep the entire site and then leave as quickly as they came, only to be replaced by the next thing that's going to garner clicks and attention and LTK links for the next 3 weeks before being forgotten and discarded, you know, just as quickly. No, this isn't new, right? This has existed in like every era of the internet. However, I do think that this era, the TikTok era specifically, is issuing in perhaps more of it or at a more rapid rate than we've seen in the past, but high level, this isn't new, right? And when we have these influxes of like hyper consumerist fashion, the like quick trend after trend after trend that you feel like you have whiplash trying to catch up with what even half these words fucking mean. In response to that, you have the rise in the exact opposite. You boomerang in the other direction and you have the rise of minimalism. You start to see people doing huge, massive closet cleanouts where they get rid of almost everything they own. I know Emma Chamberlain just did something like that. I did sort of watch her video. I watched like half of it. She still has a massive closet. So I don't know if that's like an apples to apples comparison. But in response to like all these like crazy, kooky, ever-changing trend cycles, you have people boomeranging the other direction towards minimalism, paring down your wardrobes to like the bare basics so that you can exist in a capsule and have like a wardrobe that stays the same and is timeless and classic and reliable. And, you know, people do get a little snobby about it. They get a little snobby. They get in their fashion snob era and they look at the people that do not have minimalist, established, more neutral wardrobes. And it becomes like the war of maximalists versus minimalists. Not acknowledging, right, that I think most people exist in the middle of both of these things. Not every single maximalist is engaging in like the micro trend cycle to that degree. And not every minimalist is, you know, resisting every single trend that comes across their doorstep, you know, sitting on a high and mighty throne, looking down on all of us other folk who, you know, wear color and experiment with clothes. No, how dare you do that? Fashion is a formula. It is predictable. It is reliable. It's a utility thing, whatever it is. I don't care. We get pulled from one extreme to the next when the reality is that I think most of us sit somewhere firmly in the middle of these two things. My personal take, when people are like, I want to have a more like timeless, classic wardrobe that's totally immune from these trends. I don't want to have any trendy pieces in my wardrobe whatsoever. I want to be like completely classic, more timeless, nothing like of the current era that we're in. I think when people say they want that, they end up opting for neutrals, beiges, blacks, and going all the way towards like the minimalist capsule wardrobe aesthetic. Now, this is something I disagree with because I do not believe that timeless has to mean minimalist. Obviously, I believe this as someone who is a more maximalist dresser and the way that I dress myself. I love clothes. I have a real passion for getting myself dressed, experimenting with the clothing that I'm wearing. My personal style is something that feels very personal, and I'll talk more about that in a second. But I'm also not entirely resistant of trend cycles, and there are some trends that I do find myself participating in because I do see my style within those trends. Because again, like I said, I do not believe that trends in themselves are bad. I don't even believe that following trends or participating in trends is bad, but I think that deciding which trends to participate in is more like the discretion that I think people should focus on. It's not about resisting all trends. It's about resisting the ones that are not in alignment with your style. Searching for elements of your style within the trend, not adopting the trend as your personal style. The trend cannot be your personal style. Your style, your personal perspective on fashion has to exist in a more solo space before engaging with the trend and seeing if that's something that is in alignment with your personal perspective. I also think that like TikTok fashion being at an opposite end of the spectrum from minimalism is different than like alternative fashion being at the opposite end of the spectrum to minimalism. Like there's layers and elements here, but I do think that people in this conversation start to mesh all of those things together. And they're like, you know, I want a more like timeless look. I don't want to be engaged in all this like eccentric craziness that's more of a fad. And I think more like alternative fashionistas get lumped into that because they dress more eccentrically. And I disagree there. And I think that's just a mistake that people make when they try to ignore nuance of this conversation. Again, the trends in themselves are not bad. It's about having discretion when it comes to which ones you align yourself with. And also, having a personal eccentric style is very different than adopting trend after trend, hopping from fucking coquette core to Barbie core to coastal grandma core and being perceived as eccentric or loud in your style simply because you do not have a personal style versus having a maximalist, eccentric, alternative personal style, something that is eye-catching and attention grabbing by nature, having a maximalist style like that is different than just coming off as, you know, a loud eccentric dresser because you hop around and don't know what the fuck your style is at all. These are two different things. And even looking into alternative fashion and like alternative subcultures in fashion, it comes back to what I was saying earlier, because when you look at like punk as a subculture, they're not dressing punk. They are punk. The exterior is influenced by the interior, not the other way around. But I believe on TikTok with the core of the months, it is the other way around. The exterior is influencing the interior when really the interior needs to influence the exterior. The interior needs to pick and choose what is resonating with us. And maybe you will resonate with certain trends. Maybe you do resonate with Barbiecore. Cool. But it's not about letting the exterior dictate the interior. It's the reverse of that. Yes, we're following. And even like the top comment on Mina's video was someone saying people are trying to find their personality in the style rather than find their style in their personality. And I agree. I love getting dressed. I love expressing myself through my style. And I feel like something I've talked about a lot in my videos, my fashion content in particular, is how I love feeling like a cartoon character. And that doesn't mean that I wear one outfit every single day. Definitely not. You know? What it does mean to me is more that you can learn something about who I am by looking at me. My style choices are intentional, the same way the style choices, the visual look of a cartoon character is intentional. I am communicating parts of who I am, little parts of my heart, through the ways that I dress. To me, it's not about wearing outfits that everybody else likes. It's about wearing outfits that inspire me, that allowed me to feel creative in my process of styling it, and also that feel like truly in alignment with the person I am, the lifestyle I'm living, and my personality at my core. And this is why I think a lot of like personal style advice is, to me, it's like hard to give advice on other people's personal style, because it's like the only way to develop personal style is to let yourself get passionate and get excited while trying your best to remove yourself from like the whole watching them, watching you, watching me, watching, you know, the third perspective, watching you, judging you from the perspective of other people while you're getting dressed. What makes you feel happy and feel excited and feel inspired when you look at a garment of clothing? What is it that is sort of like that unspeakable, undescribable feeling inside of you that just sort of guides you? I don't know. That's how I feel when I get dressed, where I'm like, I can explain to you why I'm making the choices I'm making, why I think this looks good with that, but why I'm drawn to these pieces or these silhouettes a lot of the time is hard for me to explain. I'm like, I don't know. I just like it. I'm just drawn to it. I feel intuitively that this is cool and that I like this. And I didn't need someone else to tell me it was cool in order to like it. In fact, there are a lot of people that don't resonate with the way that I dress and that are not inspired by, you know, the outfits that I put together. And that's totally fine, because it's not for them. It's for me. And I think maybe my hot take is that I really don't care about other people's style choices. Now, you might think that that sounds perhaps even contradictory or hypocritical, given what I do for work and that I do share a lot of fashion content. So assumably I believe that other people care about my style. Wrong. Wrong. I do not think that. I love consuming fashion content. I love and consume a lot of different plus size fashionistas, non plus size fashion people that I think have very inspiring, fun styles. I like seeing how their brain works, how they put things together. I consume a lot of fashion content. I do not consume that content because I feel very attached to these people's personal styles, that I am invested heavily in their personal style choices to the point where I might offer criticism if they showcase an outfit that I don't really like that much. I don't watch fashion content because I'm very interested in like their specific personal style choices. I watch fashion content because I love passionate people with perspective. I watch the fashion videos of many people that have totally different style perspectives that I do, that dress totally different than I would. I watch their videos and I don't feel inspired to wear the things that they're wearing or to mimic some of their outfits. Sometimes I'll come across, you know, content from people that do inspire me, or maybe something that they do inspires me to, you know, think about it within my own perspective. But the purpose of me consuming fashion content is not to mimic or to, you know, really attach myself to anybody's personal style. I don't give a fuck how other people dress. What I like is passion and individualism. I like people that are very themselves, that are just so authentically them, that get on camera and they're like, I like this and I like that, and here's the outfit I put together, and fucking look at it. I'm so excited and I feel so free and this, that, whatever. And I just sit there and I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking love it. Even if I don't love the outfit, because it's not about that for me. This is a funny comparison, but a few years ago when Noah Beck started doing like fashion content on TikTok, I was saying to everyone, like, I fucking love Noah Beck. I understand this is so fucking niche. Like, and it's Noah Beck. I understand this. This is going to be like a hard sell for some of you. But I had my era where I was like, I fucking love Noah Beck. It's why there's a card in my fridge that Kendall made for me that says I heart NB, NB being Noah Beck, because I fucking love Noah Beck. Noah Beck, a few years ago when he started making fashion content, he would come up on TikTok and be like, here's my outfit of the day. I'm wearing this, that, whatever. And it would be like the most normal outfit you've ever seen in your life. Like, I'm talking jeans and a white tee with a baseball hat on backwards. He was coming up on TikTok being like, here's my OOTD. I did that, styling like this, styling like that. And I fucking ate it up. I ate it up because I loved that it seemed like he was having fun and that he was doing something different. And he was a part of this like bro content house. And then all of a sudden he was like doing fit checks of normie shit. I loved it. I loved it. I ate it up. I was like, no, this is different for him. And I do love it. Even though I don't give a shit about men's fashion. And even if I did give a shit about men's fashion, that style is so not my style, right? But it wasn't about the style. It was about the passion and the excitement. And that's what I loved. It's the same reason why for so many years I used to watch like vegan YouTubers. Zero interest in being vegan myself, because it was never about veganism. It was about people with passion, people that are really passionate about something, that really care about something, that are, you know, living life from a unique perspective. I am interested in hearing what they have to say. I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to have the same style as them or the same perspective as them. I am interested in people who have things to say, that are passionate, that make like certain choices for themselves, that are not guided by, you know, what the larger culture might want them to be. And maybe this is very heavily motivated by my experience as a plus size person and feeling like I have been so inspired by people who went against the norms of, you know, how plus size people should dress, how we should be perceived, you know, consuming content like that, people that were so passionate about going against what was expected for them in like plus size spaces, those people inspired me to have the confidence to search for my own personal style and like go outside of the box of what was expected for me and what was offered to me. So maybe that's why I care about it more from a passion perspective above all else. And also I will say there's also elements of like existing in a plus size body and having like the bar to entry for being stylish higher than it is for thin people. In order for me to be considered stylish, I have to be more decisive, more excited, more passionate. I have to you know, advocate for myself in that way in order to be seen as fashionable. That's sort of a whole different bag of worms in and of itself, but worth acknowledging there as well. Also, and I love that Mina brought Lady Gaga up in her video, because as I was watching Mina's video and, you know, coming to my own reflections and thinking about all of this inside my head, I was like, you know, thinking about myself, and I'm like, well, like, I'm like the fucking daughter of Lady Gaga. Like, do you really think that I'm gonna be a minimalist? Like, I was raised by the drama queens of the world. My mom was, you know, like the mom showing up to like my kindergarten, first grade, second grade parent teacher conferences in like a tight little juicy t-shirt and leopard furry coat and low-rise BB denim with sparkles up the leg. Like, I was raised by drama queens throughout my life, okay? Both by actually, like, my mother, my biological mother, and also my non-biological mothers. Lady Gaga, for one. Just like the women that have inspired me, that have influenced my style, that have influenced my perspective on how I show up and like contribute to being seen by the outside world. These people encouraged me and inspired me to take up space. Of course, I'm a maximalist. Of course, how I experiment fashion and play with it on my body is loud, is in your face. Also, I feel like I'm inherently going to be, you know, taking up space and being a louder person to look at because I'm a plus size person. I am not ever going to be perceived by default as like this dainty, coquette little thing. It's just not going to happen for me. Visually, I am loud. Yes, I also dress visually loud, but even if I was in like a minimalist palette, you're still always going to look at me. I'm just that bitch. I have purple fucking hair. Like, sorry. I'm interested in the story of an outfit, and I'm never going to feel bad about that, nor am I going to be like bullied into paring down my outfits into minimalism because people think I should be going after a more timeless look. And they're convinced that maximalism can't be timeless, which isn't true. Again, there's a big difference between like the micro trend cycles of TikTok and what that means and how people like that are perceived. They're like deep in the micro trends versus the people that have maximalist personal styles and are like, you know, into maximalism for the long haul and not just for this quarter. I'm not going to be pressured into paring down my outfits in like pursuit of visual consistency. And also, conversely, I'm not going to feel pressured to always have the flashiest, most interesting outfit because some days I don't. Some days I'm just wearing my comfy flowy pants and a button-up black cardigan from fucking Old Navy that I got last week, and that's fine. That is also fine. And I don't think that anybody needs to like defend or fight for their personal style to other people. Like, I don't need to explain myself to you. I don't think anybody does. And just because you might have a more maximalist personal style doesn't mean you're not allowed to then, you know, go home or have days where you're not dressed like that, where you're not wearing the flashiest thing, and vice versa. If you're committed to a minimalist, neutral, black color palette in your wardrobe, I don't think you should be held to always wearing that. If you wanted to, you know, buy a colorful bathrobe that you're gonna wear around your house, or if you wanted to wear a bright red dress to a wedding, like I don't think that we should be held to these standards of like, okay, make a choice and then never make a different choice. Make this choice and settle here, and now you can't change. And if you do change, it means something about like your ethics as a fashion consumer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think people take it too far. This is exactly what I mean, where I'm like, the initial point makes so much sense and I totally agree with it. And then some people just, I feel like they go like way far off the deep end and they remove any nuance from the conversation. I'm like, what? Well, that's not how normal people engage with fashion. That's not how normal people engage in like getting themselves dressed for the morning. And I do think we end up going in a circle where like stylish people talk shit about people that dress basic, and then people that dress more minimalist or basic, as the stylish people would say, then talk shit about people that dress more eccentric because they think it's, you know, less polished, less put together. It's a circle. It's a circle, you guys, and it just goes around and around and around. And everybody has their own moments where they get to feel like a snob. And I think the truth is that neither of these two groups are better than the other, nor do I really understand why anybody gives a shit. Because again, at the end of the day, I like people who have passion. People whose perspective comes from like an inspired, passionate space. So if you want to have an all black, all neutral wardrobe and you are so passionate about your little capsule wardrobe and, you know, configuring your wardrobe in different ways for different seasons all throughout this like very minimal, pared back, neutral, black only space, then I love that for you. And if you are a maximalist type dresser who has the most insane fucking closet imaginable with all the different colors and silhouettes and fabrics, then I also love that for you too. Like, I don't personally have an issue with either of these two groups. I don't find one of you better than the other. I really don't care about your personal style as like, you know, getting into the nitty gritty. I care that you have passion and that you feel excited and inspired and directed in making the choices that you are, right? The real enemy here is not other people that have direction when it comes to their style. May it be different than yours. To me, the real enemy is and always has been like hyper consumerism and making people believe that they need to find their personal style within trends, that they need to adopt these trends as being their style and then get rid of it when the next one comes around. That's the problem. And again, it is fine to participate in trends, but you need to be offering discretion there in identifying which ones you actually connect with, which ones do overlap with your personal style, and which ones simply don't. Are you adopting this trend as your style, or are you taking your style to analyze a certain trend and see how it could fit into your wardrobe, if it does fit into your wardrobe? You know? So I guess that's my take on it. But really, I don't give a shit what other people dress like or what other people's style choices are. I just hope that people feel passionate about how they're dressing themselves. Or I guess people don't have to. You don't fucking have to. But I would hope that anybody who's like really engulfed in like the core of the month shit, you are interested in fashion to some degree. And I would hope that anybody interested in fashion is allowing themselves to get passionate on an individual level and not just on like an algorithmic level. You know? Anyways, interesting stuff. Mina's video is pretty fantastic. If you haven't watched it, I'll link it in the description of this podcast. It's pretty great. It's actually so upsetting how early it gets dark out now. Like, it's 5:45 right now as I'm filming, and it's been dark for like the entirety of this episode. Insane. Here's your final reminder to submit your nominations to the form in the link in the description of this video for the Lover Girls Awards. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge and awesome, and everyone's going to want to be a part of it, babes. So, whoa, so many accent switches in one sentence, but please submit your nominations. I'm dying to see them. Dying, truly. I love you guys so much. Give your pets a smooch on the head for me, and I will see you in next week's episode. Goodbye.
There.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.